Welcome to day number 80. We are up to Perek Hey, Mishnah Yud Aleph. Now, over the last bunch of days, we've been dealing with very similar cases, which is that you have multiple bunches, multiple piles of grain, of produce that perhaps you got from different places, and you want to separate trumos from one onto the other. Meaning, you want to separate some grain from, let's say, pile A, and you want that to count as trumos and maizers from pile B. So we said the general rule that we've seen over and over is that as long as the two different piles have the same level of obligation to separate tithes, then you are allowed to separate one into the other. So if both have a biblical requirement to separate tithes, both are midah araisa, then you are allowed to separate one into the other. But if, let's say, one has a midah araisa obligation, a biblical obligation, and the other pile has only a rabbinic obligation, it's midah rabbanan, you are not allowed to separate one into the other. Let's say one is entirely exempt from tithes, and the other one isn't exempt from tithes, has an obligation from tithes. Again, you're not allowed to separate one into the other. Our Mishnah, which is the last one on this topic, is going to deal with a case that we've actually seen a bunch of times through implication, but now it's actually going to state the rule explicitly. So says Mishnah Yud Aleph, Taram min ha-demai ala demai. Imagine you have demai from multiple places. Demai, again, it's the theme of our entire Masechta. Demai is produce that came from an Am Haaretz, and we're simply not sure. It's besafek, it's in doubt. We're not sure whether tithes were separated or not. So let's say someone has demai from a few different places, and you wanted to separate trumos from one pile of demai to count for the second pile of demai. Why? By trumos, by the way, by demai, we're not talking about truma itself. We're talking about trumas meiser, the truma that you give from meiser. Anyway, the point is, you tithe one to the other. Midemai alavade, or a second case. You separated from demai, you took from demai, which again is in doubt, and you wanted to be yotzi, you wanted to fulfill the tithing obligation on something that is vadai, for sure was not tithed. Right? Nothing to do with demai. You know for sure that it wasn't tithe, and you want to take demai, which is in doubt, and count for that which is for sure untithed. So in both of those cases, the halacha is truma. That which you separated and said, this is trumas meiser, it is truma. You have to give that to the kohen, but vayachzer v'yisrom. You have to go back and separate tithes again, meaning it didn't work. You have demai and demai, perhaps one Am Haaretz did separate tithes, and the other Am Haaretz who gave you the other pile didn't separate tithes, so you have two different statuses. So you can't separate one into the other. But if you said, this amount is truma, you have to give that to the kohen. And then you have to go back to that second pile of demai and separate meisers again because it didn't count. And the same thing in that second case. If you took produce from a pile that is besafek, that is demai, you're not sure whether the Am Haaretz did separate tithes or not, so you don't know what the status of the obligation is. And you said, okay, this is truma for this pile, which is totally vadai not tithe, totally untithe. Then, again, that is you give it to the kohen, but the untithe produce is still untithe. It didn't work. Okay, so v'yachzer v'yisrom, you have to go back and re-tithe it. What about the opposite case? Min avadai al demai. Let's say you took from a untithed produce and you wanted to count for your obligation to separate from demai, which is only a rabbinic obligation, right? Because you're not sure whether it was tithed or not. So you have something that has a midah araisa obligation and you're separating that to cover a rabbinic obligation. Truma, again, it counts. You have to give it to the kohen, but v'lo te'achel atchiyotzi aleh trumas u'maisers. The kohen himself is not allowed to eat that produce meaning the produce that you gave him, until he separates trumas and meisers. Why? Because you took produce from untithed tevel. You're not allowed to eat, even a kohen is not allowed to eat untithed tevel, of course. You have to give that to, the kohen has to take that truma that you gave him and now has to separate trumas and meisers because it came from untithed produce. So it's not allowed to be eaten until he separates it. But it did count for the demai, and that's an important piece. It did count, meaning demai, the obligation to separate for demai is only rabbinic. We know that most Am Haaretz did separate tithes, so it's only rabbinic. So Chazal say, fine, you know what, it works. But the kohen is still not allowed to eat it until a trumas and meiser are separated. So it's really the inverse of the last case. When you separate from demai onto tevel, so then the kohen, you give it to the kohen, the kohen is allowed to eat it, but then you have to re-separate trumos from the tevel. In this case, and I'll make a chart to make this easier, but in this case, it's the inverse. If you separated from tevel onto demai, you give it to the kohen, the kohen is not allowed to eat it, but it did work as truma for demai. That is Mishnah Yud Aleph, and that is Perek Hey. Now we'll start Perek Vav, the sixth Perek together. Says Mishnah Aleph, HaMekabel Sadeh MiYisrael, MiRanachri MiNakusi, someone who receives a field. That means we're talking about an aris, someone who goes to the owner of the field and says, let me cultivate your field, let me harvest your field, and I'll take the majority of it, and I'll give you a third of whatever it produces. And it's the field of Yisrael, or Anachri, or Akuti, Yechalek Lifnehem. You are allowed to give them their third, their portion, the owner portion, without having separated tithes. Even though we normally say that a person is not allowed to release anything from their own property and from their own possession without having tithed, that you always have to separate tithes before you give it to someone else, this is the exception. Why? Because the thought is this, if you have to give a third back to the owner, but you first have to separate tithes and then give a third, so then the tithes cut into your own profit margin. And we're worried that that would not incentivize people to go into this profession because it really cuts into their profit margin. And what would end up happening is that people would not cultivate land, people would not harvest land, and parts of Eretz Yisrael would lay fallow, would be uncultivated. So Chazal, in order to encourage Eretz Yisrael to really be cultivated so that we have produce, that we have produce for us and for wealthy and for the poor. So Chazal said, we're going to give the advantage to the aris, to the person who's receiving the field, so that when they give the portion back to the owner, you do not have to separate trumos beforehand. The owner will have to do it, him or herself. But a different model, not that you're giving a third or a portion of the produce to the owner, but instead you have a rental agreement. I'm going to take care of your field and I'll just give you a flat fee every year, regardless of how much the field produces. A lot, a little, you're going to get your flat fee. Then, Torah and Venosin though. Most tithes you don't have to separate, the same thing as the first case, but truma you do have to separate before you give it to the owner. Why? Because truma sets in as soon as it gets to the threshing floor. And in the process of renting and then just giving a flat fee, we're assuming we're giving that fee later on. It has nothing, you're not harvesting and then that moment giving it to the owner because it has nothing to do with how much you harvest. You just know you have to pay the owner in produce later on. So once it hits this threshing floor model, then you have to give truma. Then at that moment, you have to separate truma. So you have to give that to the Kohen. But in the other case, we assume that you're actually separating and giving to the owner before it hits the threshing floor because you're just counting off a third of everything you harvest, you give straight to the owner, and therefore it never reaches the threshing floor, and therefore you wouldn't have to. But in this case, you're paying later on, so it already hitches the threshing floor. You have to give truma beforehand. But the other maestros, again, you don't have to separate for the same reason we said before, to incentivize cultivating the land of Israel. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Amasai. When is that true? He qualifies it. Bizman shenasan lo me'osa asadim me'osa min. That's only when you are giving from the same field and the same produce. Meaning you got a wheat field, you're giving a portion, not even a portion, you're giving whatever the flat fee is from the wheat of that field. Aval im nosin lo misada acheres umimin acher. But if you're giving the fee in other produce or from another land, which you're allowed to do, because in this case it's not a portion of the field, right? In the second case, it's just I'm going to give you a flat fee in the form of produce. So it can be from a different field or it can be different produce. In that case, maaser v'nosin lo. In that case, you would have to actually give all of the trumas and maasers, not just the truma, because at that point it's if you're just paying a debt. Right, you owe the guy a certain amount of produce, so you're paying a debt. And whenever you pay a debt, it has to be with produce that is already tithed. We've seen that before as well. So because of that, you'd have to pay. But if you're paying from that field itself, if you're just giving him the wheat from that field, then it's almost similar to that original case of an aris, in which it's not really paying back a chov, it's just part of the original agreement. Okay, that is Mishnah Aleph. We'll continue Mishnah Beis tomorrow.